for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 1st, 1984. Labor Day weekend deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the speaker of the evening.
Let me see again, how many have never been to one of my meetings before? Oh, you poor unblessed people. You don't look very much like I thought you would either. I've just come in from California and report the enemy's in full retreat out there. We had some tremendous victories north of San Francisco and Vallejo, and then moved over to Sacramento the last two nights. And their strong deliverance works there, for which I just praise the Lord. Now, I asked Glenn tonight what he wanted me to do. Not that I intended to do it, but I just thought I'd ask. And he said he wanted me to have a mass, and there's only one kind of mass that a Baptist preacher can preside over, and that's a mass deliverance. How many of you have never been in a mass or group deliverance before? Anybody?
They all had it today.
Oh, you all had it today. A few straight in tonight that haven't. All right, well, good. You know the ropes then. Well, it won't hurt you, because deliverance is like peeling an onion. But before we get in that, I noticed Dempsey's been here, so he's been harassing the enemy. And I want to just mention to you, some of you are on our mailing list, and you noticed and possibly prayed. I know they prayed here at Lake Hamilton for the trip to Indonesia. And we went to Indonesia with three other fellows went with me, my son, my son-in-law, and then the leader of the deliverance work out in Eagle Rock, California. The four of us flew to Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia. Indonesia is the fifth largest nation in the world, right behind the United States in population. It's the island stretch 3,000 miles across, and the nation is 90% Mohammedan, and it's 100% witchcraft. A business couple from Indonesia came through our church some months ago. I met them in New York. They came to a meeting where I was, and they got interested in deliverance, and they came on over to the church, and I happened to be gone that weekend, but the workers ministered to them. They themselves received deliverance and were initiated into working in deliverance, and this was their first real exposure to it. They were like a lot of other Christians. They were full gospel believers, baptized in the Spirit, but they were dissatisfied because what they had learned, all that was good and went as far as they could go with it, it was not enough. And so they found a new dimension when they moved into deliverance, and Heglish fortunately helped them to get a glimpse of that. And so they went back to Indonesia with loads of books and tapes and videotapes from the church, from the deliverance workshops. When they went back, in less than a month, we got a letter from them and said, "Help, we are inundated. People are pouring in every day and every night. They're calling from all over, and every night our house is full of people. They heard we went to a deliverance church, and we have classes in deliverance going. Some are using the book. Some are doing, we're doing deliverance in some. We're trying to train workers in another one. We've got the videotapes going for others who want to learn. And the demons are coming out, and here we are just babies. We don't know hardly anything. Just what little introduction we got at your church, and then what we're learning from the books and what the Spirit is showing us. But so the demons are coming out. They're just coming out by the bushels. And he said, we are just babies, and these are elders and preachers from Assembly of God churches in Jakarta that are coming to us asking for help, because, of course, the assemblies say that you can't have demons. Christians can have anything they want, and they can have demons, and they do. But at any rate, the letter went on to say, please have Heglish pray for us, because we are just being swamped. It's absolutely incredible. The people are calling night and day, begging for help, and the deliverances are going. And we're learning, and we've already trained some workers, even though we're just beginning. Now, this gives you an idea how fast deliverance can work. You train in desperation because you just get overwhelmed. If you go to a deliverance work shop like this one and you go back home, if you have any thing to you at all, you won't have to call anybody. They'll start calling you, I guarantee you. And people will start begging for help because God is saying, deliver my people. Deliver my people. That's the broadcast. That's what he's saying. He's not saying build a kingdom. He's not saying build buildings. He's not saying build big cities and all that kind of thing. People are hearing the wrong voices, I'm telling you. God is saying, deliver my people. When his people are delivered, we're going to see the things that we've longed to see. Now, I've read in the Bible that there's a former rain and there's a latter rain. Now, the former rain shook the whole world to its foundations. And that was because deliverance was in its proper place. It was a part of the gospel as it went forth. Deliverance cleared the way, and evangelism, miracles, and healing exploded behind it. And then the devil managed to get it shelved and put away for centuries. When we plowed into the demons full speed, I've had demons tell me, we have not had this much trouble in centuries, you idiots. This stupid binding and loosing, you've got to stop that. That's the most horrible thing you've done. One demon looked at me and he said, Worley, you've done a lot of rotten things in your life. But the rottenest thing you ever did was drag that binding and loosing out and start putting it all over the country. And said, and these stupid fools said, they believe you and that makes you dangerous. And I don't understand it because we fight them. We try to keep them out of these dumb meetings. And they come to those meetings and they believe you. And I don't understand it. I said, you want me to explain it to you? He said, no. They do get a little alarmed. But isn't that just too bad? I always like to put a little chuckle on the tapes because a demon somewhere, I don't know, I may have been here at Lake Hamilton, I don't remember, I've met so many here. This place is loaded with demons. Every time I come here, they're just scooting all over the place. I was in deliverance one time and a demon said something stupid and I chuckled, you know, and I laughed. He said, shut up. We hate that laugh. Don't laugh. We hate that laugh. And I said, oh, you do? I'm trying to cheer you up. He said, well, stop it. It's not working. And, and he told me that, he said, we hear that laugh coast to coast. I said, oh, for goodness sake, quit exaggerating. I don't go that many places. He said, oh, shut up. He said, on all those stupid tapes. He said, every one of those tapes, you're going, hee, 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 hee. And said, those fools, they get that tape and they say, oh, my aunt needs this. So they copy it and they send it over to her. He said, everywhere we go, it's hee, 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 hee. He said, it's sickening. It's just sickening. So I always like to put a nice, healthy chuckle on there just in case the tape goes somewhere to irritate the enemy. But at any rate, when I read in Indonesia, the Indonesian letter, back to it again, the lady said, if Pastor could come here sometime and help us, it would be such a blessing. We're praying desperately for help. And when I read that, I just stopped and started crying because it just touched my heart. So those dear people with no training, no background, no pastor to lead or anything else, and they were tying right into the forefront of the enemy, which is the way it ought to be. But the Lord spoke to me and said, go over there, son. And I said, when? And I pulled out my book and I started shifting dates. And he showed me where, and I cleared a spot in June, called the travel agent, booked the flights. And then I wrote him a letter and told him I was coming. Well, there were a lot of odd, peculiar things happened, all kinds of blockages. And I had a brand new passport, which I had misplaced, and it looked like I wasn't going to find it. It was in my office, and that is the most awful place to get lost.
Hallelujah.
Lynn, would you speak to your wife, please? But at any rate, we made it through, and I had decided to anchor the meetings on one end, go to Honolulu and have meetings there, break the trip, and then go on from there, because I thought that when you got to Honolulu, you were halfway to Indonesia. I couldn't have been more wrong. Indonesia is the furthest place I've ever been in all my life. I thought we would never get there. The last letter I got from Indonesia before we left said that they were anticipating having about 50 people meeting in their home, and they might even have one or two meetings where they'd have 100 people. And I thought, well, praise God. That's who the Lord sends. That's who we'll work with. We got off the plane, went through customs, and I caused quite a commotion. The Indonesians are very small people. They're downright tiny. They even make Glenn look big compared to some of them. And when I walked up to the customs, the the little customs officer looked up at me and he said, "How much do you weigh?" And I said, "A whole lot." And he, just laughed, and he turned around and relayed that to the other two men. They never looked at my suitcase. They were busy enjoying talking to me. I think they thought I was a reincarnation of Buddha. No fooling. I went through a shopping mall, and I caused a sensation. People were... And they were, little kids were running up to me, you know, and everything. It was sort of embarrassing. And well, once in a while, yeah. But at any rate, we got to Jakarta, and when we went through customs, the people were waiting for us, and they were so excited. They said, "God, in the last 3 weeks, has worked a miracle. Tremendous, unbelievable things have happened in 3 weeks' time." Said, "This thing has snowballed and gone completely out of control." Said, "We are getting calls from all over Indonesia." Said, "Word has leaked out that you're coming." We wrote just six or eight letters, and we made a few calls to people we thought might be interested. And said, "Now we've had to register the people because we have so many coming, and we don't have enough seats." The biggest hall we could find was the brand new police station, which seats 500 in the center of Jakarta. And said, "We already have 600 reservations, and the phone is ringing off the hook with people begging, let us come too." 100 people flew 1,000 miles. Others flew 500 miles. And others just came from everywhere because of deliverance. They were coming to hear about deliverance. And the first night we went, and I just sat and bawled. The Holy Spirit was falling so on the place. The YWAM, Youth for the Mission, had charge of the music. They had a whole bunch of guitars and a piano and horn or two. And they just did a beautiful job on the music. And Asia Outreach man did the translation, and he didn't even believe in deliverance. But his superior told him, "You get up there and translate." He translated for all the American preachers coming through, and he got with it. Pretty soon he was leaping at the demons himself. I just had to say, "Sick them, go ahead, translate them, and then he translates this list and go get them." And boy, and when those demons started screaming back at him, he got really enthusiastic. And didn't have to convince him anymore they were real or that they were there. They were certainly there. And it was tremendous. From the first night, when I laid the Bible foundation for deliverance, and then when we started the invitation, I got cussed out in six languages. Demons screaming out. All I could understand is, "Whirly, whirly," every so often. "Whirly." And the Indonesians were all laughing, and I said, what are they saying? They're saying, "Whirly, go home. You just caused trouble. Why did you come to Indonesia? We don't want you here." And the Indonesians were quite impressed because we had over 700 jammed in that hall every night that seated 500. And they were quite impressed. They'd had a lot of preachers come through, but none created commotion like that. Every night the demons were screaming for him to go home. They didn't want him there. And it was nice, you know. It was we had a nice, quiet, devotional type service, followed by kicking, screaming, hollering, or fighting. And I just felt so at home. It was just so nice. The demons were doing the same thing they did over here, and so I felt right at home. And the Indonesians were just ecstatic. They just took to deliverance like ducks to water. They said, "Now we see it. It's so plain. It's so simple. The word is so clear." And so every night we just had a tremendous, tremendous thing. And we had greatly influential people in Indonesia were in those meetings. I had the privilege of praying with the son of the most famous witch doctor in all of Indonesia. He's a psychic surgeon. He's a Hindu firewalker. And he is very heavily into Satanism and demonism. And people come from all over Asia to consult with him in the occult realm. And his son, about 21 years old, a great big weightlifter, black belt, karate. He'd gotten saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, a member of the Assembly of God churches, was having a horrible time trying to walk with the Lord. And they told him not to come to the meeting, but he came anyway. So his friends came to me and said, "Pastor," now this was an Indonesian that wasn't little. This was a big one. And his friends came over and said, "Pastor, could you come and pray for our friend?" And they told me he was the son of the witch doctor, and I thought, oh, that ought to be fun. And so I went over, and it was fun. He was telling me about all the things he'd been into, and so he mentioned that his father walked on fire, and then he said, "And I've done that too." And I said, "Oh, well, I bet Ishkamu's in there." And he went, because Ishkamu is a fireworking spirit that burned my leg in Baltimore about 5 years ago when I tangled with him. And I said, "Ishkamu, aren't you glad to see me?" He said, I said, "Do you remember when we met last?" He said, And he was starting to rise, and I told the boys I better get him. And so we had a nice, tremendous battle there. And we had some other things, and then we got word from the Indonesians who came to the workshop. They came through, and the deliverances were holding. This boy, for instance, went back to the Assembly of God Church becoming a deliverance evangel. He said, I don't care what you say. It's true. You can have demons. I got rid of mine. I'm doing what I want to do now in the Lord, and I couldn't do it before. And one man was a lawyer, the most famous trial lawyer in Indonesia. He was there the first night, and I just preached. And as you know, I'm a rather low-key preacher. And when I got through, all that commotion broke out. And he ran up to the man who had helped bring me over to Indonesia, and he said, Leo, he said, for God's sake, he said, that man didn't do anything. He just talked. And said, for all this, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It has to be God. And he said, I want him to pray for my son. His son was in college, about 22 years old. He was driven to go out and get drunk every night, and he could not stop. He'd come in weeping and crying and promise he wouldn't go, and the next night out he'd go again. And nothing had helped him. He was a Christian boy, but could not stop doing what he was doing. His father brought him to me the next day, and we sat and prayed with him, and nothing seemed to really happen. Well, he did look at me kind of hateful once and say, if I had a knife, I'd cut you to ribbons, really. That upset his father, and I said, don't worry about it. That's the way the demons all feel about me. And finally, he jumped up and ran out of the room, and I said, just let him go. I think we've prayed enough. And then he vomited all the way home, and all the way home, he was vomiting. And he hasn't been out to drink since, neither has he wanted to go. And this has been weeks and weeks from that. So I just give you, and just on and on, there are just so many things that happened, just glorious, wonderful victories. And I want to share that with you because many of you prayed for those meetings, and God answered. He just blew the foundations out from under the devil. I'm going back to Indonesia for 3 weeks. We're going to hit four cities. Jakarta has 8 million, the capital, and we're going to go back and hit four different cities, Jakarta and three others this next time. And Leo and his wife were going, when they left Teguise, they were going home, and then they were going to meetings in two cities, and they were expecting crowds of at least 1,000 each place they went to introduce deliverance. Now, these are the babies. Leo has not been able to do his business since he got back. His secretary has been handling all his business. They're too busy with deliverance. They just can't stop. There's no place to cut off. And it was so refreshing to get there where people were so hungry and so thirsting for the message of deliverance, thank God. I'm also going to Mexico in December. I'm supposed to go to Europe and the Philippines next year also. I hope that you'll pray that the Lord will give you strength. I have to do it. I'm not a traveler. I don't like traveling. But the Lord said I had to take the message overseas, so I'm trying to get it finished so I can sit down and rest. And I'm always telling the boys at the church I'm going to go over and sit down on the beach and pull up a palm tree and rest. One of them looked at me and said, in a week you'd be bored to death. And I said, I'm afraid you're right. But at any rate, the battle continues and God is still raising up workers. But I tell you what, it's more vital than ever in this closing part of this year that people come forward and get delivered and get turned on to the deliverance message. Because I'll tell you, people, the nation is teetering on the brink of absolute disaster. Now, we can either be obedient to God now and see God turn this thing around in a miracle-working fashion, or we can drag our feet and yang around and suck our thumb and let her crash and go all to smithereens, and we'll have to come out of the concentration camps to do it. It would be a lot harder then than it is now. Now, that's the alternatives. They are building concentration camps in Montana right now. They've already drilled water wells, and they're fencing sections of territory out there where it gets 103 in the shade in the summer and way down 50 below zero in the winter. And that's where they're going to put the folks that they need to get out of the cities. And this is, I was out in Montana and they're doing it. They've already done it. They've drilled the wells and capped them. And there's no reason on earth to have those wells out there in the middle of nowhere. They've been drilled all over. The government has drilled wells all over the place. You think the enemy is not working? He's on the job. But you know, I was thinking about, I get a lot of information passing across my desk, and one day I was sitting there and I was just thinking, this thing is so bad. The nation is so completely destroyed. Is there any possibility of turning this thing around? The powers of darkness are gaining every day. The preachers are dumb dogs that won't bark. They're not worth shooting. A watchdog that won't bark and warn you that something's wrong is not worth having. And I have a sermon called, Is Your Preacher a Dumb Dog? And I hollered a little on that one. And I got upset. And I usually get, I'm very cool and collected, but I got upset about the men charged with the responsibility over God's flock who are not warning those people. They don't love them enough to tell them the truth. But you know what God told me when I was thinking, kind of, you know, you kind of get the downs every once in a while. I was sitting there, I thought, this is a mess. And the devil said, that's right. You and that little bunch of raggy tags will never, never do it. And then God spoke to me, my spirit so strong, and he said, son, the same powers of darkness that you and your people and deliverance workers across the country have been tangling with and successfully whipping in open conflict on the floors of the churches and the meeting places and the deliverance, and you've seen them run, you've seen them flush and go, those same powers of darkness are the same ones that you face in the heavenlies that are directing this conspiracy. The same power that throws them out of people can destroy their works in the heavenlies if you will marshal the people and teach them how to fight. You talk about Star Wars, that's where we need to go. Hit in the heavenlies. Learn to aim high. I can't believe some of the people I've heard that have become acquainted with demons, and then they turn around and say, now, you better not fool with principalities and powers. You know, you better leave those alone. That's awfully dangerous. Well, since when are we supposed to live safe? I don't remember anything about that, do you? Well, Kevin asked me if I had any songs. I want to share one with you. I heard two in Indonesia that were new to me. I came back and I found that one of them was familiar on the East and West Coast. I don't know whether you've heard it around here or not. And it caught on at the workshop real well. It goes like this. And this is one that when I get feeling very blue and down, despondent, I just burst out and sing like this. In moments like these, I sing out a song. Sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I lift up my hands to thy name, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Isn't that a good pickup song? Let's do it again, want to?
Yeah.
In moments like these. The Indonesians, you ought to have heard those 700 Indonesians singing it. They'd sing it in Indonesian, and then they'd sing it in English. And either way, the power of the Spirit was falling all over the place. They'd translated all the songs in the back of my books into Indonesian already. By the way, they're translating all 7 books into Indonesian. Right now, they're working on them. And they got to go ahead. Asia Outreach is taking Bible lessons on deliverance out of the books, and is shooting them out twice a month to all their Bible teachers across all of Indonesia. And I talked with a man, and he asked me, could they do it? I said, go to it. So praise the Lord. It's moving. Battling the Host of Hell is already translated into Spanish and is presently being translated into German. So praise the Lord for that.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. Sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I lift up my hands to your name, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
There was another one they were singing. When I was sitting there trying to sing with them, then the Lord kept talking to me in my spirit and making me cry all the time, because he'd keep saying, see, son, I told you. See, it's just like I told you it's going to be. And you know, I kept remembering back when God was talking to me about all this that's happening now, and looking at 25 people out in front of me and having prophecies come forth saying the ministry that I've given to you is going to rock the nation and the world before it's through. That sounded so utterly, utterly impossible. And he's doing it. And it certainly is his doing, it isn't mine. I'm just going along for the ride. But it sure is a nice ride, I'll tell you that. There was another song they were singing. I don't know whether you've heard this one, but this one really got me too, because I have a message I preached here at Lake Hamilton some years ago called Stephen in the Alabaster Box. And this song really caught me right in the heart when when they sang this one.
Give me a heart to worship before you. Give me a heart to love and adore you. Give me a heart to praise thy name and to love you just the same as the woman when she came to anoint you. Give me a heart to worship before you. Give me a heart to love and adore you. Give me a heart to praise thy name and to love you just the same as the woman when she came to anoint you.
That one has some deep roots to it. And when it gets down deep in your heart, it'll stir you. Then there's a little song that somebody sent me from Montana. A lady wrote it. And we introduced it at the workshop. Might as well just sling all of them. This will be all of them, Kevin, and this will be the whole bunch.
Father God, I pray, give to me today the light of Jesus burning in my soul. Satan, you must flee. Jesus sets me free, for in his victory he makes me whole. Father God, I pray, give to me today the light of Jesus burning in my soul. Satan, you must flee. Jesus sets me free, and in his victory he makes me whole.
Well, praise the Lord. God, a lot of people are looking for all kinds of revelations and things. When I go to the Lord, he tells me one thing. He said, son, keep digging in the wells of deliverance. You ain't seen nothing yet. He says the key is in deliverance. That's the key to the whole latter rain that's coming. And he says you've already found a spring of living water coming out of there, and you know a little. But he said, keep digging yourself and get your people. Encourage them to keep digging in God's Word. There's much, much more there. And said, when you finally hit it, it's going to be like an artesian well. It's going to come out of there like a gusher, and absolutely nothing will stand before it. And he said, that's when the people are going to leap out of the wheelchairs. That's when the cut off arms and legs are going to grow out and the fingers and toes shoot out. And that's when you're going to see what you've been longing for. And he said, deliverance is the thing that's going to pave the way. Don't waste your time looking in other places. That's where it is. And said, you haven't seen anything yet to the power that's coming. He also reminded me again what he told me many times. This revival, this restoration of the church will not be a star system. Although they're going to be gifted teachers and preachers and so forth leading it, they will not be a star system as we've seen it in the past. When this thing breaks and runs, it's going to explode right in the middle of the congregations like this. And when the Holy Spirit comes in sovereign power, that mighty rushing wind comes, people are going to be under the influence of the Lord, and they're going to just reach, turn to a brother or sister, and under his direction lay hands on them, and the miracles will pop immediately. And it's going to happen so quick, and not one soul that's involved will turn and take glory and say, look at me. Everyone I will give glory to Jesus. Now, people, if you'll prepare yourself, don't think you're destined to just sit on a pew the rest of your life. God has something much better for you. In deliverance, there's a ministry for everybody. And in this coming outpouring of God's power, it's going to be one in which the men and women, the ordinary men and women, if you please, not the stars, not the gifted ones, not the ones who shout and turn cartwheels across the stage, but just the ordinary people who love Jesus and are just caught up with Him, they're going to do the work. All the ones at the front will be working too. But the ones out in the pew are going to... You see, we can't do it all from the pulpit. There's no way it can be done. This is what I've seen from the very beginning of deliverance. God told me from the very beginning it's a body ministry. And everywhere I've gone, I've been hated, and people spit and snarl, and the preachers get mad at me, and they say, you can't turn the people loose to do something like that. They might make a mistake. Well, since when have God's people been immune to making mistakes? I mean, they get them baptized in the Holy Spirit and turn them loose to prophesy. They don't worry about them making mistakes. They figure they'll get them corrected. They turn them loose speaking in tongues and messages in tongues and interpretation. They don't say, oh, you have to wait until you have a 3-year course in it so you won't make any mistakes. In every other, when they're going to soul winning, they don't tell them, well, you have to wait until you're perfect because you might make a mistake. They send them out as babes, push them right on out. In every other phase of ministry except deliverance. And then suddenly deliverance, oh, that's reserved for the clergy and certain anointed ones. I know that anointed is a good Bible word, but I've just gotten so sick of it because it's been so misused. I actually know of a preacher up in New York who got up one time and he said, now, friends, I know that you don't understand why I don't like to shake hands or talk with you before the service, but I have the anointing, and if you come up and touch me, you'll drain away the anointing. I came along about 3 weeks later. And you know me and my big mouth. I said, what he's got, I wouldn't want. I said, aren't you glad he warned you so you didn't touch him and get any of it? Any kind of false, dribbling, religious garbage like that, forget it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get to the Mass in a minute. When Moses came off the Mount from spending that time with God, the Bible says his face was like the sun in its noonday strength, and when the people looked at it, it blinded them. They couldn't stand it. And they asked him to put a veil over his face because it was hurting their eyes to look at him. And the Bible makes a significant statement. It said he wist not that his face shone. He didn't even know it. Oh, I have the anointing. Well, you're not like Moses. He walked around, wasn't even, other people were aware of it. He wasn't. You're welcome. Think that through. Next time you see a peacock strutting across the stage, blowing and bragging about the anointing, I feel it, oh, I feel it, I feel it. Well, back off so it doesn't get on you. I mean, I have no objection to people feeling the Spirit. I don't care how high they jump, as long as they walk straight when they hit the ground. I've had enough of this stuff, though. I've seen people do some strange things. I mean, in Baptist meetings, just plain old Baptist meetings, when I was holy and pure and undefiled by things like tongues and things like that. I've been to Baptist meetings where they did strange things. They leaped and they shouted and they ran up and down the backs of benches without even looking with their eyes closed and things like that. Oh, yeah, you didn't think Baptists did that? Yeah, there's some of them. There's some wild ones over there. There are a few, but there's some of them over there. And I don't object to that as long as they walk straight when they hit the ground. I have no objection to people when it's real and genuine. I just enjoy it right along with them. I tell you this story now. If you've heard it before, be polite and laugh real good when I come to the punchline. They tell the story about in a Baptist church, a very proper Baptist church. They had one of these wild ladies. She's a little old lady, and it was a big fuss church. And so when the preacher would get to preaching, he got to preaching on the blood and the sufficiency of the blood and the marvelous thing that Jesus had done on the cross, those wonderful things. This lady would get her cups so full, next thing you know, she'd be on her feet and she had a little handkerchief. She'd be popping it and saying, woo! And just going like that. So they changed preachers. And they had a young preacher come in from the seminary, and he spread his notes out on the pulpit, you know, he had to all care. And he was delivering his sermon. And so everybody was listening, and he cut in too close to the cross one day. And I'm telling you, he got in there talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, and he gave the scriptures, and he was going, well, he just filled that, yeah, he pulled that lady's string, that's all. And boy, she hit the floor, and whee, popping that little handkerchief, you know, and just shouting and praising the Lord. She's dancing around out now, having a good time. And the preacher got so upset, he knocked his notes off, and he had to scramble down and get them because he couldn't go on, and he just got all flustered. And so as soon as the service was over, the chairman of the deacons came rushing up to him. He said, now, Pastor, we noticed that Sister So-and-so kind of got out of order today, and it upsets you, and I want you to understand that we're going to take care of that. I've already instructed the ushers that if she ever does that again, they're just going to come running right in and just pick her up like there's something wrong with her and rush her right outside so it won't disturb you, because we want our pastor to have... And he said, oh, thank you so much. It was rather distracting. It was rather distracting. So they went along with several services, and she was sitting back there, not doing it. It was all right, but she didn't. Then one day he did it again. He came right in on the blood and things that were dear to her heart, and boy, she hit the floor again. Started whooping and dancing around out there. And so sure enough, here came the two ushers. They came right down the aisle, and they picked her up on each side and just started out. And she was going out, and she was popping that little thing, saying, "Woo! Woo! Jesus rode into Jerusalem on one, I'm being carried out by two. Woo! Woo!" Well, you didn't have to laugh that hard, you know. Well, praise the Lord. Debsy, did you go into forgiveness? Did you go across to forgiveness with them?
We prepared the way for the mass deliverances for resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, but we haven't taught them.
Okay. All right. Did you actually have them do the forgiveness?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. That's what I thought, so we'll just skip that and move right on into the other. Did you make them aware of the occult, too? Did you talk about the occult?
No, we
didn't. Okay, that's where we'll start then.
Irma did this morning.
Did you do it?
Yesterday.
Okay. Oh, well, good, then you're ready to go. It's a good thing I had my introduction, because we'll move right into the fight. Now, did you have them do the renunciation of the occult, Irma?
No.
Okay, we'll do that then. All right. You'll have to excuse us. I got here late and didn't get a chance to confer with these people and see what's happening. But there's nobody here but us, and we won't tell anybody, will we? All right. They've already explained to you about the forgiveness and led you into the forgiveness. Now then, we're going to move into the occult. Irma's made you aware of the dangers of the occult, and you need to renounce those things because there is a four-generation curse on those things. There's even a 10-generation curse on illegitimacy. 10 generations is 400 years. A generation is 40 years. And the devil has worked something on God's people to cause them not to be aware of what has been put upon them. The deeper I go into deliverance, the more I marvel at the power of our God to work in and through instruments who are loaded with demons, who are loaded with curses. And in spite of that, we see the power of God sparkling through and winning all kinds of victories, marvelous things. You know what this tells me? What is it going to be like? What will it be like when we learn enough of the Bible and are obedient enough to the Bible to begin to let Him clean out those curses, break those curses, break those holes that the devil has on us, and cleans out those nests of demons and neutralizes the ones that are left behind so they're not able to hinder? Can you imagine what kind of men and women are going to be? That's how the latter rain is coming. It's going to come through men and women who have been willing to submit themselves to studying the Word diligently and being obedient to the Word to the best of their understanding, and to do what God says and to clean up their lives and let the Holy Spirit come in and let the power of the name of Jesus come to their rescue. Now, God has a very wise purpose in causing this thing to seemingly go the long way around. He is training us to develop our spiritual muscles. He wants us to understand about the spirit world, how powerful it is, and He doesn't want us to underestimate the enemy. He wants us to know full well what we're facing, and then He wants to show us that His power, the weapons of our warfare, are infinitely superior in every way. If you're just coming into a knowledge of the spirit world and its operation, then your first reaction when you begin to grasp the enormity of the fact of what the demons have and are doing, you have to realize they have sewed up the entire world. They have all the money sewed up, just about. They've got the business, the economic sphere, the social, the political, the educational world, and even practically all of the religious world is in their side pocket. I mean, it is sewed up tight as a drum. There isn't room to wiggle. Now, you would think they would be shouting victory, 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 instead of getting all nervous and upset because a few hundred people or a few thousand people scattered here, there, and yonder in little bunches, usually, not usually in big bunches, but usually in small bunches, have begun to trip to what's going on and are beginning to pick up the weapons of the warfare and try them out. And the whole kingdom of darkness is upset. What does that tell you? I had a demon screaming at me one time. He was just screaming and cursing and yelling and talking about how nice it'd be if I died and all kinds of neat things like that. And finally he said, I said, well, what are you so upset for? There's just a few of us. He said, shut up. You know it doesn't take many. I said, you're right. That's the hope, people. It doesn't have, we don't have to have everybody. Gideon's band was reduced from 32,000 to 300 before God would move. Jehoshaphat did not have enough to fight. Elijah was one against the whole shebang. The whole religious, economic, political system was all under the control of demons. The moral character of the nation was non-existent, sold out to demons. And one crackpot, one crank, because I'm old enough to remember it took crank to turn things. And Elijah was a crank. He turned her over. He turned Jezebel's apple cart over. And I believe that God has more than one person. I believe He's got more than 300. I know there are people here, there, and yonder across the country who are listening, and God is speaking to them and saying, deliver my people. I've run across some of them. They've been in places, and they've come up to me and said, Pastor, you know, the Lord has been dealing with me and my wife about this for several years, and we tried everywhere. Everybody we asked told us we were crazy, out of our mind, and you come along, you're preaching exactly what God's been talking to us about for years. Thank God. Now we know we weren't crazy, we were on trail, and we will be soldiers. Thank God. That's why it's so necessary for us to get cleaned up. And I don't care how many mass deliverances you've been through. Since the last time you went through, you will have developed and uncovered more demonic entities that are probably ready to go. We made a mistake when we started having deliverance workshops at our church 3 a year. We made a mistake on the first one. We did not have a mass deliverance before the workshop. So over half our workers ended up on the floor screaming. And you think that didn't shock the visitors. I mean, here these people wearing Hegwish badges have been doing all the work. We're on the floor screaming and kicking along with everybody else, you know. So since that time, every Sunday just before the workshop, Sunday morning is deliverance time. We have a mass deliverance for our own people so that they can get reasonably straightened up so they can help the other people and not go on the floor themselves. No matter how many times you've been through deliverance, there's always other things that God knows about, and that I wouldn't fail to go through it every time I got a chance. That tape from here, The Children's Bread, and another one we have similar to it called Mass Deliverance or something, those tapes have gone all over the world and have delivered people by the scores. Some people listen to them once a week. One man called me, and he said he was the lighting director for the 700 Club. He called me one day, and he said, Wynn, you need to put a warning on that tape 120. I said, why? He said, you need to put a warning. Do not drive your car while you listen to this. He said, I was listening to that, and I'm on the way to work, and I manifested and nearly hit a bridge this morning. So if you do listen to mass deliverance, your car might not be the best place to listen to it while you're driving. But they will work. And we never dreamed about that when we made the tapes. It's marvelous what God is doing. All right. You need to renounce all connection with the occult. Now, I'm going to lead you through some form prayers. There's no magic in them. They're just factual. They're biblical. But they will work. So I'd encourage you to take part in it if you've never done it. Most of you have been exposed to it before, so you know it's not going to hurt you. It could help you a great deal. And now, one thing I'd like you to do is to, when we go through these prayers, is to bow your head and close your eyes. Now, that's not because it's more holy to pray that way. I mean, you know, you don't even have to put your hands up like this to make it holy or anything. A prayer can be effective no matter what, but there is a good reason. It's because there's some nosy people here. Now, I know you're not, but the person sitting next to you may be the nosiest one in the crowd. And you see what happens, if they're looking up this way and we're praying and you're following me in a form prayer and something happens over here, the nosy person will stop praying and look over there and see what it is. And to protect them, not you, but that person next to you, so they won't get distracted away from there and not get the benefit. We're going to ask everybody to close their eyes. Really, seriously, I just want you to concentrate and really be sincere with the Lord about it. So if you'll bow your heads now, please. Father in heaven, I confess to you that in the past, due to ignorance, curiosity, or willfulness, I have come into contact with certain occult things. I now recognize this as sin. I confess it as sin. For you have said in your word, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I renounce as sin the following contacts with the occult that I remember and know about. Now you just very quietly tell the Father which ones you can remember. Think back to the things that Irma discussed with you earlier. Anything in the area of witchcraft, fortune telling, ESP, hypnosis, all of those things. Don't forget water witching. I renounce all these things that I know about. And also any that I do not know about. I also renounce and confess as sin any oaths which I may have made to any false gods. I also renounce any idolatry in which I have been involved. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm closing any door that I may have opened to you through contact with the following occult things that I remember. Now run your list by for Satan. This is a legal matter. We're getting him ready to be evicted. I renounce all these things that I know about, and also any that I do not know about. I renounce Satan and all his demons. I declare them to be my enemies. And I want them out of my life completely. And therefore I claim deliverance from any and all evil spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break any curses of rejection from the womb or illegitimacy which may be in my family even back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break and loose myself from all demonic subjection, from any ungodly soul ties to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other person, living or dead, who has ever dominated or controlled me in any way which is contrary to the will of God and God's Word. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I also repent. I ask you to forgive me if I have ever dominated or controlled some other person in the wrong way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break and loose myself and all my descendants from all psychic heredity, demonic holds, psychic powers, bondages, bonds of physical or mental illness, our curses, which may be upon my family line as a result of sins, transgressions, iniquities, occult or psychic involvements of myself, my parents, or any of my ancestors, of my spouse, any and all ex-spouses or their parents or any of their ancestors. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break and loose myself and all my descendants from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, bewitchments, witchcraft or sorcery, which has been put upon me or my family line from any person or persons or from any occult source or psychic source. And I command all connected and related spirits to leave us. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. I come to you, Lord Jesus, as my deliverer. You know all my problems, all the things that bind, torment, defile and harass me. I now refuse to accept anything from Satan. I loose myself from every dark spirit, from every evil influence, from every satanic bondage, from every spirit in me, which is not a spirit of God. I command all such spirits to leave me now. I confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Redeemed, cleansed, sanctified, justified by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, Satan has no more place in me, no more power over me, because of the blood of Jesus. Now, what we've done is destroy a lot of legal groundwork. And the demons, some of them are already beginning to stir and leave. They're such cowards, they just won't wait. But I'm going to bind up everything overhead and take authority over the whole area. And then we're going to see which ones are loose and ready to come out. Now, all I'm going to do, if you haven't been through one of these, I'm just going to read off a list of demons. Demons' names and family names that are common. And just command them to come out of you where you're sitting. And all I want you to do is just relax, be willing for them to go, breathe them out. Is that easy enough? Now, the one thing I'd like you to do, I don't want you to cafeteria on me. I mean, I don't want you to shop. When I'm calling them out, I mean, say, yeah, I might have that. Oh, yeah, I might have that. Oh, no, I don't have that. Ooh, no, I know I don't have that thing. You know, don't bother to check them out, you know, because actually you don't really know what all is down in the depths of yourself. Only the Lord knows what's in the depths of our hearts. What we've inherited, what we've picked up here than yonder. So the best thing to do, I want you to pray. I just don't want you to pray with your mouth for a little while when we start this. I want you to pray in your minds. I want you to agree with me. That'll make two of us agreeing, touching one thing. When I call the names, you agree. If that thing's in there, Father, get it out. I want it to go. Okay, see how it works? And then I want you to breathe through your mouth instead of your nose while we're doing this. Very simple reason. The word demon, spirit, and breath are all the same word. And most of the demons are going to leave through the breathing passages. So we want to take all the traffic off the street like you do when an ambulance is going through town. You take all the traffic off the street so it can get through. And we don't want you down there praying, blocking their way, throwing up the name of Jesus or prayer in tongues or something, and they're having a hard time trying to climb out. We're going to clear the day and put it up here. And you just agree with me and just relax and be ready for them to go. Just let them go. Now, from time to time, I'm going to pause. I want you to breathe through your mouth normally when we start this. And then from time to time, I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, now, people, breathe them out. Take three or four slow, deep breaths and let them go. Now, when you do that, I want you to take three or four slow, deep breaths and breathe out as hard as you can. Again, that's for a good Bible reason. Mark 16 says to cast out demons. The word cast out is ekbalo, which means expel violently, literally to vomit. Now, you don't have to do that, but if you have to, that's all right. We'll even accept that or we'll clean it up. And We want to get these things out of there. And they will start coming out. There's no doubt about it. They'll start coming out. It's an amazing thing. It shouldn't work, but it does, just because it's biblical and it's what the Lord honors the Lord. Now, Don't breathe more than three or four times real deep like that, because if you do, you'll hyperventilate and get dizzy, and you'll think you're getting delivered, and all you're doing is just getting dizzy. And we'll just ask you to drop back and breathe normally for a while, and every once in a while I'll say, now breathe them out, people. And if one starts acting up, we'll then start pushing him out. Just breathe him out. All right, okay. And they will come out. I know it sounds simple, and it is. When I started out in this, the Lord gave me the rule. He said, the rule is KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And that way I can understand it, and you can understand it. A lot of this complicated stuff won't work anyway. So if we keep it simple and right to the point, God will honor it and make it work. All right? Now I'm going to take authority over Satan. I enjoy this part. And you know, we have the authority over him. I'd like to stop and explain that to you, but the clock's running a race with him back there. Maybe I can do that later. Explain to you how much authority we have. We've got so much authority. Oh, my. We've got them outgunned on every front if we just learn how to use it. And remember, they're running full steam. We're just cranking up. So we're bound to outrun them when we once get going. All right. So learn how to crank up, okay? And I've been fooling around that thing there, and it goes wooden, wooden, wooden. And you know, I tried that notch, I pull that thing down the notch, and it goes, ugh. I've heard there's an overdrive on it. And we're working to see how we can get gear in that thing. We get geared up with God, they can't stand before us. Praise God. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? For the glory of Jesus. Alright, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I put you on notice, we're attacking you and your forces from the power of the third heaven. High above Satan, high above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, world rulers, kings, and princes. And we come against every power and principality that's over this particular geographical area where we're located right now. And Father, I ask you for legions of angels to go in Jesus' name and topple them off their thrones and disrupt the whole thing in the heavenlies that controls this area. Just really cause a havoc up there right now. Just mess it all up. And cut all the power lines and mess up the communication and block off everything. I want legions of angels over this place to seal up every place in there. And Lord, we ask for special angels to come and be very close to babies, children, and anybody else who might be for some reason especially susceptible to demonic attack. And put your protection around them that way. And we ask further that the angels will take up every evil spirit that's floating around in this place loose, take them and bind them right now, and take them to wherever Jesus wants them to go and get rid of them. And then as the demons come out of the people, take them quickly away and take them wherever Jesus wants them to go. Now, take authority over, in Jesus' name, over the strong man and every person sitting in the sound of my voice. And I bind you to the authority of the third heaven. This is high above Satan, high above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, world rulers, kings and princes, and you must obey. If there is any alternative, you have to obey. When I call your name or your family name, you must come out. The people have come here to get free. They have been obedient to the best of their knowledge, and so you must loose them. You know the rules, so you'll have to come out as the people are obedient to God. And I call your name in Jesus' name, you'll have to come out. I come first against the spirits of the occult in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of the occult, the Ouija board, sorcery, witchcraft control, all forms of witchcraft, water witching, magic, voodoo, divination, fortune telling of all kinds, Gene Dixon, Edgar Casey, and all the psychics, spirits from automatic writing, handwriting analysis, tea leaves, coffee grounds, crystal balls, tarot cards, palm reading, astrology, horoscopes, and signs of the zodiac. All of you spirits in that category, come out now. Breathe them out, people. Three or four slow, deep breaths. Breathe out hard. Come on out of there. Keep moving. Come on, get moving. Move now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bind you to the authority of the third heaven. Get moving. Loose the people and let them go. Come on, come on. Divination, fortune-telling, all kinds of fortune-telling spirits. Come out of there. Come out now. Astrology and horoscopes. Come on. Hypnosis, ESP, spiritualism, mediums, seance, necromancy, levitation, table tipping, spirits of clairvoyance, transcendental meditation, astral projection, Ekankar, soul travel, mind control, and EST. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Move. Get moving and keep moving. Just keep moving. Come on. Every one of you have to leave. Go. Go to where Jesus sends you now. Eastern religions, spirits from all the Eastern religions, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, I Ching, Krishna, Zen, PSI, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Science, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, Unity, Metaphysics, Baha'i, Scientology, Inner Peace Movement, Spiritual Frontiers, the Moonies, the Children of God, the Farm, Islam, Black Muslims, the Way, the Walk, and all other cultic groups. Come out of there, religious cult. Come on, all the spirits, come out of there now. Move, breathe them out, people, let them go. Come on out of there. Spirits of religious bondage, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Just loose them right now. Loose them and let them go. Spirits of biorhythm. yoga, karate, and all the martial arts, spirits of acupuncture, spirits from Freemasons and the Eastern Star, spirits that came from pierced ears and tattoos, spirits that came in because of charms, the hexagram, the pentagram, the ankh, the Italian horn, the goat's head, unicorn, flying horse, rainbows, spirits from enchantments, fetishes, potions, spells, Dungeons and Dragons and other occult games, psychic readings, reincarnation, spirits of pyramid, clairaudience, mental science, false visions, superstitions, amulets, talismans, Satanism, karma, hex signs. Come out of the people now. Come on. Breathe them out, people. Just let them go. Just breathe them out. Come on. Keep moving. Keep moving, you spirits. Move faster. Hurry up. Hurry up. In Jesus' name, you're defeated. You have to come out. Come on. Come on out of there. Laziness, self-hate, self-deception, impatience, pride, irritation, ambition, loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, and death. Come out of the people now. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Move. Come on. Come on. Loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, and death. Come out of there. Come on. Hurry up. Move. Move. Come on. Keep moving. Keep moving. Spirits of confusion, rejection, depression, misery, torment. Come out of the people now. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Torture, doubt, unbelief, greediness, covetousness, guilt, shame, condemnation, evil heart of unbelief. Loose the people, let them go. Breathe them out, people, let them go. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Move. Move. Just come on out right now. In Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of fear and the torment, because fear has torment. Come on, spirits of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, so you have no business there. Fear of giving and receiving love freely. Fear of death. Fear of pain. Fear of falling. Fear of darkness. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of insects. Fear of crowds. Fear of water, fear of drowning, fear of close places, fear of the future, fear of nightmares, fear of demons, fear of Satan, fear of storms, fear of earthquakes, fear of loss of salvation, fear of the future, fear of purgatory, fear of hell, fears, all kinds of fears. Come out now. Come on. Fears, fears. Now move. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. All kinds of fears, occult fears. Come on. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Move. Breathe them out. Let them go. Just let them go. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Hurry up and move. Spirits of wrath, anger, temper, contention, fighting, murder, destruction, vandalism, malice, envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, pride, hysteria, fits, convulsions, spirit of a broken heart, wounded spirit, deep hurt, unforgiveness, revenge, vengeance, seething anger, rage, schizophrenia, and paranoia. Come out of the people. Breathe them out, people. Come on. Come on. Move out of there. Come on. Deep hurt, wounded spirit, broken heart. Come on. Let's go. Come out now in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Let them go. Come on, wrath, anger, temper, contention, fighting, murder. Come on out of there. Vengeance, revenge. Come on, move out in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, paranoia. Come on, move. Come out of the people, let them go. Come on, you spirits of multiple personalities. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation, lying, gossip, slander, whining, complaining, self-pity, criticism, mockery, foolishness, ridicule, and perversity. Come out of the people. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on, move. Come on, breathe them out. Come on. Profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation. Come out of there. Hurry up. Come on. Come on, all you spirits in the tongue and the voice box. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Keep moving. I break the curse of the automatic failure mechanism working in families back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Spirits of poverty, discouragement, failure, worthlessness, and rejection that come from that curse. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Hurry up. All spirits of addiction rooted in rejection. Spirits of gluttony, overeating, binging, bulimia, addiction and craving for food and sweet. Come out of there. Anorexia nervosa. Come out of there. Anorexia. Anorexia. Come on. Come on. Move. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Addiction to food. Come on. Come on. Move. Come out in Jesus' name. Keep moving. Keep moving. All addictions and craving for nicotine, cigarettes, tobacco, all forms of tobacco, and all the allergies located in the lungs, in the bronchial tubes, in the bloodstream, and in the breathing passages and the sinuses. Come out of there. Spirits in the tongue, the taste buds, and the throat. Come on, move. Come on, addiction and craving for tobacco. Come on, move. And nicotine. Come out of there. Hurry up, move. Keep moving. Keep moving. Along with lung cancer and emphysema. Come on out of there now. Lung cancer and emphysema. Move. Come on. Move. 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 Come on. Keep moving. Keep moving. Addiction and craving for and bondage to alcohol of all kinds. Addiction and craving for bondage to alcohol of all kinds.
wine drinking, mockery, strong drink, deception and stupidity, hangover, the morning after, all the spirits that have to do with drunkenness and drinking, come out now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. All the spirits of alcohol, breathe them out now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out right now. Addiction and craving for and bondage to drugs of all kinds. Marijuana, acid, speed, THC, TPC, mescaline, angel dust, cocaine, heroin, Valium, amphetamines, diet pills, barbiturates, tranquilizers, phenobarbital, all of the mind-altering drugs. Come out in Jesus' name. The spirits behind those drugs. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come out and loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I break the curses of lust on the people back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. And I come against all the spirits, the sex spirits, the ones that came through the eyes, through the ears, through participation, transfer, or by inheritance. Come out of there. Come out now. Masturbation, guilt, shame, condemnation, pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, sex perversion of all kinds, including oral sex, anal sex, sex with animals, sadism, masochism, incest, rape, fornication, adultery, immorality, prostitution, harlotry, occult sex, uncleanness, filth, filthy dreams, filthy conversation, sexual fantasies, frigidity, impotence, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, promiscuity, flirting, seduction, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. Come out of the sex organs. Come out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, the throat, and the mind in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Keep moving. Keep moving. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Come on. Prostitution and harlotry. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. 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 I break all the curses of deformity, infirmity and sickness on the people. All the witchcraft curses and all the family curses of sickness, infirmity and deformity. Now all those spirits come out in Jesus' name right now. Deformity, infirmity and sickness. Come on. Pain, arthritis, swelling, infection, cancer, ulcer, tumor, cyst, and weakness. Come out now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on, infirmity spirits and sickness. Come out now. Come out now in Jesus' name. Move. Come on. Just move. Keep moving. Keep moving out. I break the curse of allergies on the people. Back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Spirits of hay fever, asthma, bronchitis, and all of the sinus and respiratory system allergies. Come out of the people now. We break those curses and command you to leave. Come out now. All spirits that cause swelling, itching, burning, infection, excess drainage, irritation, come out of the lungs, the bronchial tubes, the mouth, and the sinuses right now. All the respiratory allergies, move. Come on. Come on. Move out now in Jesus' name. Get out. Asthma, hay fever, and bronchitis. Come on. Move in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Just loose them and let them go. Loose them now and let them go. I come against spirits of hemorrhoids, muscle spasms, cramps, drowning, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, suffering, swelling, fits, convulsions, and epilepsy. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Come out of the people now in the name of Jesus. Move. Keep moving. Keep moving. Come on out of there. Hurry up. Hurry up. Move. Move. Infirmity spirits, come on. Move. Keep coming out now. Keep coming out right now in Jesus' name. You keep moving. Come on out of there. Come out now. I come against spirits of heart failure, heart attack, heart disease, and the fear of all these. Come out of the people right now. Come out of the muscles of the heart, out of the nerves of the heart, the valves, out of the arteries, out of the veins. Come on out of there now. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, hypoglycemia, hyperglycemia. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on. Heart attack, heart disease, and heart failure. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Move right now. Spirits of psoriasis, eczema, acne, warts, mold, spirits of ugliness, bone breaker, back breaker, traumatic shock and paralysis. Come out. Come out of the people now. Move. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. I come against religious spirits of legalism, externalism, hypocrisy, religious bondage, religious slavery, religious murder. I come against spirits of abortion. I come against lust and ambition for religious recognition. Lust and ambition for position in religious matters. Lust and ambition for power and control in religion. Spirits of false gifts, false tongues, false discernment, false laying on of hands, false word of wisdom, false prophecy, false love, religious dominance.
self-serving religious spirits, selfishness, greed, spirits of no love, religious coldness, no compassion, spirits of robbery, cheating, pretense, false oaths, blockages, rigid theology, obstructionism, hatred of the truth, spirits of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, and all the Babylonian spirits. The Babylonian spirits from Roman Catholicism, idolatry, Catholic baptism, the spirits that came into the baby when the oil was put on it, and the salt was put on its tongue, and when it was sprinkled with holy water. Come out now. Spirits of prayer to the saints, dedication to the priesthood or to be a nun. Spirits of one true church, one holy priesthood. Spirits that came from the Mass, Holy Eucharist, adoration of the host, incense. Spirits coming from the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, joyful mysteries of the Rosary, glorious mysteries of the Rosary. Spirits of Holy Mother Church, authority of the Pope, infallibility of the Pope, the fear of the priest, fear of the nuns, fear of excommunication, confessional. Spirits from Holy Water, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Holy Family, Stations of the Cross, Rosary, Crucifix, Candles, Blessing of the Throat, St. Blaise. Spirits from St. Joseph, fear of hell, fear of purgatory, fear of guilt, guilt, shame, condemnation, unworthiness, spirits of good works, mind control, holy orders, extreme unction, confirmation, sacrament, benediction, spirits from the human bone relics in the altars, spirits from genuflecting, the feast days of the saints, votive candles, witchcraft control, poverty, religious medals, sacrifice of the Mass, angel of good counsel, sign of the cross, spiritual adultery, indulgences, infant of Prague, religious hatred, the worship and veneration of Mary, Immaculate Conception of Mary, Sacred Heart of Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mary Queen of Heaven, Mariolatry, the May altars in honor of Mary, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Mercedes, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Snows, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Queen of Martyrs, Queen of Peace, Mary Star of the Sea. Spirits from novenas, scapulars, spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, the Feast of Peace, Feast of Life, Lent, destruction of the family priesthood, passion, spirits of agony and ecstasy, ashes on Ash Wednesday. Spirits from the demon saints in the Catholic Church, St. Teresa the Little Flower, St. Christopher, St. Jude, St. Catherine, St. Anne, St. Elizabeth, St. Joseph, all the saints. Prayers to the saints. Come out now in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose the people and let them go. You loose the people and let them go right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now you've been sitting for a while. If you're able to, would you like to stand up with me, please? Get your blood moving out of your feet up a little bit. Put your hands up like this. It'll move up. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Once more, let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just
Father, we thank you for your deliverance power that's been manifest amongst us this evening. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area that's been vacated. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for the fire of the Holy Ghost to fill every area that's been vacated by evil powers and spirits in any way. Be filled with thy presence. There be no place for any spirit to return. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for rest tonight. I thank you for the presence of the Lord with us as we lay our head on the pillow and we rejoice in thee, praising and magnifying the Lord, declaring Jesus to be Lord. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. I praise you for it. Father, we thank you for your presence amongst us. I praise you for it. I thank you for it tonight. I thank you for all that's been wrought in the hearts and lives of every one of us tonight. I thank you for it, Father. And that which will still happen before morning in the hearts and lives of some of those that are present here, Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for your delivering power, that it is not bound to this building, but it's in authority to your word. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Father, we bind all these spirits. We take them and ask and thank you for the angels of the Lord to keep them until the day of judgment when you shall judge them. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you. And Father, I thank you for peace and rest. Thank you for the glory of the Lord to rest with us. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.